you know, I break ventilation down into three steps. We got to get fresh air in the barn. We have to mix and distribute that fresh air, because that's where that's the really the critical step, because that's how it's going to pick up the dust, the heat, the pathogens, the moisture, and everything else inside that room, and really create that nice, even, well-mixed environment inside there. And then lastly, we have to take the air outside of the barn, typically with an exhaust fan. But really, that's when I look at ventilation. I try to break it down into those three steps, and then I focus in on, you know, is it, you know, is a light trap dirty? You know, am I not mixing correctly because I've got warm spots, cold spots? And then fans is more like a maintenance and location type thing.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Poultry Star is a unique feed ingredient that includes a prebiotic and probiotic, and it's designed specifically for poultry. Improve gut health with Poultry Star. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/poultrystar. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Zoetis Hatchery Health Team helps you raise field-ready birds with a strong immune foundation. Learn more at zoetis.com.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show. Today I'm here with Dr. Brett Ramirez. Welcome.
Hi. How is it going today?
Oh, it's a good day. Sunny in Iowa. You can't beat that.
Yep. After a little bit of rain.
Exactly. So today I want to hear a bit about how we can improve ventilation in poultry houses. But can you kind of tell me how you got to where you are right now in your career?
Yeah, sure. I don't really come from an agricultural background. I knew I wanted to do engineering and something related to food because I like to eat and I really enjoy food. So I ended up choosing agricultural engineering and pretty much never looked back. I got involved in undergrad research related to livestock and, you know, just kind of stuck with it through master's and PhD, and then ended up here at Iowa State and really focus in on ventilation. I do research and extension. So out in the field, trying to create, you know, evidence-based practices that producers can adopt and ultimately improve the environment inside their barns.
Yeah. So you're out in the grind. I mean, you know, you're really connected to what's going on in the real world.
Yep. And I got a few workshops this week and I think a barn visit.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. It's going to be toasty, but okay. So I want to kind of chat about modern layer systems and some of the things that are going on. But first, for us listening, can you kind of get us up to speed? Like, what are the big environment and ventilation control challenges, opportunities, and things that are going on with hens today?
Yeah, I think some of the big challenges is just, you know, scale. You know, with these really large barns, they just get a little bit more complicated to ventilate. So we have to kind of do things maybe a little bit differently than we used to, or have to consider things that we may not have had to consider before. Like mixing. It just gets a lot harder when you have a really large volume of air. So a lot of different techniques and a lot of different products that's come on the market in the last 5 years to really address some of those needs. Some of the other interesting ones is, you know, with the threat of high path avian influenza, you know, is filtration an option? Is it economically feasible? What does that look like? How does the ventilation system work with filtration? Is kind of one of the other things that kind of creeps in and out every so often. Then kind of another interesting one that's kind of popped up more recently with the, you know, free range houses is, you know, like an equal neutral pressure ventilation system. A lot of different techniques for that. And it's kind of a lot different than a traditional negative pressure system. But it's kind of created kind of a need for information and addressing some of the management challenges associated with having pop holes where the chickens can go outside.
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like the technologies in the last 5-10 years are maybe driving maybe some of the interesting or difficult things, just because our barns have expanded. Like, we just have so many more opportunities.
Yep. A lot more wall space and ceiling space.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And yeah. And dust, dander, and feathers.
Yep. Moisture, ammonia. It's all in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Save the date Join the Poultry Science Association for the 2026 PSA annual meeting happening July 10th to 13th, 2026. Experience the forefront of poultry science at this dynamic conference featuring cutting-edge research and innovation from industry leaders and academic experts. It's your opportunity to connect, learn, and help shape the future of poultry science. Mark your calendar and stay tuned for more at poultryscience.org.
So if you want to ventilate properly, like what are the considerations? I mean, because we've got hen welfare, hen productivity, the people in the barn, and seasons, right? So what are the things, what are the like kind of the 30,000 foot view of the things we're paying attention to?
You know, I break ventilation down into three steps. We got to get fresh air in the barn. We have to mix and distribute that fresh air because that's where that's the really the critical step, because that's how it's going to pick up the dust, the heat, the pathogens, the moisture, and everything else inside that room and really create that nice, even, well-mixed environment inside there. And then lastly, we have to take the air outside of the barn, typically with an exhaust fan. But really, that's when I look at ventilation. I try to break it down into those three steps. And then I focus in on, you know, is a light trap dirty, you know, my not mixing correctly because I've got warm spots, cold spots, and then fans is more like a maintenance and location type thing.
So I know there are some cool technologies that help someone kind of monitor that. Like how could someone monitor mixing? Like, is this where you got to get an extension person to come in and kind of help, or are there other ways that can determine proper mixing on farm?
Probably the easiest. So there's a couple different ways, but probably the easiest is just looking at the temperature spread in the room. You know, if you've got more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit between any probe, probably a good indication of it being a mixing problem.
Yeah.
Smoke is also a great visual for that.
Oh, yeah.
I know, don't necessarily like lighting fires inside a barn or using insect fogger. So party machines, fog machines do a good job at providing that visual indication of where's my air going and how well is it getting, you know, across the ceiling, to the floor, through the system, then eventually making its way out through the exhaust fan.
So what are some of the considerations that just that summer brings? Because there's changes in humidity and temperature outside that might really change what goes on the inside.
Yeah, I, at the end of the day, ventilation is purely at the mercy of Mother Nature. At it, because whatever's outside is coming in. And there's no way to break that relationship. So yeah, when it's raining outside and it's 100% humidity, it's going to be humid in the barn. There's just not really much we can do there. So that's why we kind of have to, you know, think of it longer term than the acute, you know, why is this happening right now? You know, could be cyclic, but, you know, take a kind of step back and try not to wonder, you know, why is this happening right now? But am I seeing this problem over time getting worse or better? Kind of ask the question like that rather than, and another really hard thing about ventilation is, you know, I can only be on a barn, a site one day, probably out of the year. And so, you know, I don't get to see what happens those other 364 days of the year. And that's always ventilation. You kind of have to keep at it because it is going to be different as soon as that weather changes.
So do you kind of have a guidance for people with some of these more complicated systems? I know that they can retain data or they can look at something longitudinally. Like, what are some best practices for folks to be paying attention to those trends over time instead of the daily stuff?
Yeah. So I like to kind of break it up into seasons. You know, summer here in the upper Midwest it's pretty hot, you know, upper 80s, low 70s at night. And kind of look at what is that barn doing over the course of the summer? Do you notice changes in, you know, is that temperature creeping up, even though if it was 80, say in May, 80, say in August, is my barn temp 85 in August when it was only 82 in May? Might be an indication that heat's being accumulated inside the barn and maybe there's something, exhaust fans are dirty, maybe belts are loose. Maybe it's just under ventilating. Then as we get into the transition seasons, like the springs and falls, that one's really looking at more of kind of the daily change because of the weather here swings so much, and just kind of seeing how the barn reacts to those weather changes. You know, is it a quick response? Am I seeing the barn get too hot, too humid? Kind of looking at that as more of a daily thing because of that, how that ventilation system reacts. And then winter is a little bit easier just because we're stuck in min vent for most of it because it is cold here in the upper Midwest. And that's mainly just if you have heat, just checking, you know, is my barn staying up at temp? Looking at the temp spread, because that, like I said, is a good indication of mixing. But that's kind of how I approach looking at data.
So do you have any maybe favorite setups, if you will, just like the way the barns face, or, you know, things that can kind of, if someone is looking to build a facility and add ventilation, like what would, if you came in and said, this is something that I would absolutely recommend versus maybe something you can't control, like what are things you might encourage?
Yeah. So there is no perfect ventilation system.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great ventilation systems, and it all kind of depends on that individual producer's goals and really what shape, size, type of house they're trying to build. And then it comes down to finding what ventilation style works best for that. There's so many different ways to do it. It gets really hard to generalize it, but barn direction, typically they run east-west here in the state. But in probably most places they run east-west, but yeah, it's really kind of an individual basis and kind of looking at it from that perspective.
Sure. So maybe just getting a ventilation expert in on the plan early would be the best bet.
That would be a welcome thing on my part, because I get a lot of last minute emails.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can believe that. So speaking of that, what are the mistakes you see? What are the common mistakes in terms of temperature, humidity, and air quality?
You know, probably poor mixing at the end of the day, just because, and that's a really, like, there's a good band-aid fix with using stir fans or mixing fans. Some are easier to install than others, but that's really probably the one that we run into the most problems with, is just getting the proper mixing and distribution of that fresh air, especially in these larger facilities, just because it gets challenging.
Oh man. What else do you see is maybe under ventilating on some days an issue? Cause I know there can be problems with just gas buildup at bird level or maybe not reacting quickly enough.
In wintertime we want to, conserve heat, whether we're paying for the heat or we're trying to use that bird heat. And so that tends to make us want to clamp down on ventilation, because, pretty much somewhere around 80% of the heat in the barn is going to go out through that ventilation fan. So that's your best way to control the heat removal. But that comes at a cost, right? So as we clamp down on ventilation, it's going to drive the air quality inside the barn into worse conditions. Humidity is going to go up. Ammonia is going to go up. We might be able to hold temperature, but there's those other aspects of the environment that are going to have an impact on that bird. That we also have to keep in the back of our minds as we, try to find that optimal point between heat removal with our fans and our indoor air quality during the winter months.
Yeah. So I know this isn't as common in hen buildings, but in broiler buildings, I know there's a lot of folks that have started using the robots that kind of help mix up the litter where there's wet spots and like kind of reduce that ammonia burden. Is that something that can kind of work in tandem with proper ventilation to improve some of the floor litter quality that might also help kind of reduce the gas or other issue buildup? Like, are those becoming more popular?
I haven't really seen them much in the layer industry, but the concept makes sense. A lot of times, if you're getting really caked litter, it's probably not getting enough air down to the litter to help keep it dry.
Sure.
And just, once you get caking, it is really hard to get back to an uncaked state.
Sure.
It's just once it goes, it is really, really tricky to get that uncaked without a lot of labor to uncake it. So the best bet is, when you're starting those birds and, starting to develop that litter, is just trying to keep it as dry as possible, just so you don't fall behind on caking.
Yeah. That makes total sense. So for somebody with an existing barn, what would you recommend, like either steps or technologies, if they want to implement something new to improve their ventilation?
So I'd probably start with just kind of the basics of just having the right tools, whether that's smoke for visualization, a portable weather meter that also is going to measure airspeed, temperature, humidity, just so you have a checkpoint on the controller, because temp sensors in barns drift, humidity sensors. So just having some tools available that you can kind of verify kind of what's going on in the barn and kind of track its progress over time.
Yeah. Are there any kind of emerging technologies that you think have really improved some of the sustainability? I know that we kind of talked earlier, there are so many new things we can do in the last 10 years. Like, what do you think from the sustainability standpoint with tech?
Yeah, I think with the ECM fan motors that are just a lot more energy efficient when you run them at lower speeds has, you know, greatly reduced electricity costs, you know, which you can tie back into a sustainability story. But that's probably the biggest one, is just the energy savings on some of the newer fan motors.
Have you seen many folks also implementing like solar systems or panels, et cetera, outside of their barns to do some of that feedback, or has that not really taken off?
I haven't seen much.
I know it's kind of been a thing, a wish list item for a lot of folks, but the cost is.
Yeah. And a lot of these larger layer facilities, they use a lot of electricity, and sure, you need quite a bit of solar to even kind of put a dent in that.
Yeah. So if someone is looking to upgrade one of the older systems, the older controller system, what might you suggest to look for in a new system, especially because they might not have experience with some of the other things that might need to be added in terms of sensors?
Yeah. So I'd start with something that's simple and that you're going to be able to understand or learn and then understand. You know, there's a lot of varying levels of complexity out there, and training and company support for those things. So that's what I would recommend is, you know, simple, something that you're going to be able to eventually learn how it works, which settings are important. If I do need to make a setting, do I know where to go and what impact is that setting change going to have? And then, you know, be able to apply that, I think, would be my advice.
And how many beeps are you going to get on your cell phone notification?
Yeah.
Like, that might be the most important for folks who like a little bit of peace.
Yeah. And, you know, alarms are really great and probably critical, but we do get death to them at some point because they can become a little annoying. And then it might lead us to maybe miss one of those critical alarms because we keep seeing them over and over again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. 100%.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. At Signify Animal Lighting, we use light as a tool, backed by science to support growth, comfort, and performance. Better light, better animals. Better results with Signify. A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
So if somebody, I know in the state of Iowa, you do quite a bit of extension and folks might already know how to contact you, but if they're not in Iowa, where are reliable resources to look for ventilation help?
You know, I do work all over the country and international, so you can still feel free to reach out to me. You know, there's not many of us out there as kind of independent university type people for ventilation support. But otherwise, I mean, I think a great resource is, I know it's broiler focused, but there's a lot of great principles that can also be applied to the layer industry is the UGA Poultry Housing Ventilation website.
Oh, sure.
That Mike Zarek runs, just has a lot of great information on it. I even reference it time to time just and learn from it, just where I can't get, you know, field data to understand certain things. But that's probably one of the other good ones. But yeah, outside of that, there's really not too many people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are there any other physical resources that somebody who just might want to learn about a specific topic? Do you have any other? I know there's a really awesome website you've talked about in the past that had to do with fan testing. I don't know if that would be a good one.
Yeah, if you're can't sleep at night and you want to just scroll a database, the Best Lab website is a good one to peruse through to check out what kind of performance fans are doing. And then otherwise, you know, for resources, I'd say the Genetics management guides are typically pretty well done and pretty comprehensive. And I think they tend to do a good job at not really prescribing, but explaining how certain things work. And I mean, I reference the Cobb and Aviagen ones quite a bit, just on, you know, they got great pictures and, you know, good explanations of ventilation styles.
Cool. Well, is there any other major things that we have missed that would be important for someone to think about or know regarding ventilation and productivity?
I'd just say, you know, always keep it simple. Make sure you understand it, learn it, take the time to focus on ventilation once in a while, because a lot of times, you know, people get, you know, there's a thousand different things when you walk in a barn that you could look at, right? You could spend all day. You know, where does ventilation fall on that list? You know, I'd say try to bump it up the list every once in a while. It doesn't have to be every day. But at least go through and, you know, take a hard look at it and try to block out those 999 other things you got going on. Just to focus on ventilation, because that's how you'll, you know, learn and find problems and ultimately get a solution.
Yeah. I feel like for the outside non-engineer folks, it can become so complicated to learn the systems and understand setting the fans and openings and inlets and outlets. So I really appreciate people like you who have the answer right away and quickly know what's going on, because you can spend a lifetime as an amateur trying to figure that out.
I'm still learning as we go, because you never know what kind of ventilation system you're going to run into in the field.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What the Wild West has got to be so exciting to figure some of those problems out. Exactly. Well, Brett, thank you so much for having a chat with me today. And hopefully the folks online who are listening got a lot of information out. If you like this show, like and share it with your friends, because everybody needs to know about ventilation. I mean, the birds got to eat and they got to breathe, right? So
ventilation's the only thing in there that's 24/7, 365. And, you know, you can, what is it, like a week without feed, or, you know, a couple days without water, but it's not long without air.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. That's a tagline right there. If you had to boil it down, like, you got only a couple minutes without air.
Yep. No ammo.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.